Your Scofield Bible is found on page 636, Psalm 78. We'll be starting with verse 12, ending with verse 20. If you'll start with me on verse 12, we'll read responsively through verse 20. Once you find it, would you all stand, please, starting with verse 12. Ready? Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand up as an heap. In the daytime he led them with a cloud, and all night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and for this church. And I pray, Lord, that you be with our preacher now. Help us, Lord, to pay attention. And I pray, Lord, that the service this morning would be a turning point in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read for you. You need not turn to it. I'm going to read for you two verses that are really amazing verses. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, and grace will lead me home. Grace will lead me home. In verse number 19 and 20, I read of the 78th Psalm, Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Now listen just for a second very carefully. It's amazing. The great list of things that God had done for his people that are listed here in the 78th Psalm. Let me just read, if you don't look at it, let me read a few. God says, he divided the sea. He caused his people to pass through. He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud. And all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks. He gave them drink. As out of great depths. He brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And then he goes on to say, Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Now, here was the nation of people on the face of the earth who had received more miracles from God than any other nation of people that ever lived. And yet, they came in the wilderness and they said, We know that God led us across the Red Sea. And we know that God gave us a pillar of cloud by day to lead us to His will and a pillar of fire by night. A cloud to give us an air conditioning in the heat of the day, and a fire to give us heat, a central heating in the cool of the night. And we know what God has done. But they said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? He smote the rock that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. But can God give us bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? I want to give you this theme this morning. I want to dwell on it the entire service. And that is this. If God has led us thus far, God can lead us from here on. And the sin of the Israelites was to think that after God had done all these things in the past, now then, God suddenly has his arms tied and is paralyzed and cannot lead us in the future. Now, this morning we're in a recession. It may even be the throes or the vestibule of a depression. It's a sick old world. bombs have been dropping and blood has been shed in the Falklands. In the Middle East this morning, the hotbed of the world, in the center of the world, there is tragedy, war. The Secretary of State Haig resigns, and even Mr. Reagan can't choose Secretary of State that lasts over a couple of years. And all kinds of confusion and people being laid off. I think every once in a while we need to stop and realize the ability of our God. And so I want to talk this morning on the subject, and grace will lead me home. Father, bless, I pray, this message to the encouragement and the building of faith in the lives of my people and those who share with us today in this hour. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The famous old song writer, ex-seafaring man, wrote the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. That's a very popular stanza. Perhaps even more popular is the one that says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But tucked away in that beautiful song, I guess the most beloved of all the gospel songs and hymns, is this stanza. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Now, all across this room this morning, people could stand up and say, 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far. But not many can say affirmatively and confidently, and grace will lead me home. Now, I want to talk this morning on the subject, grace, and grace will lead me home. Now, this is interesting. This statement that said, behold, he smote the rock, that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. It's a statement about a miracle. Now look at me. God had provided enough water from one rock smitten by Moses' rod to cause enough streams to flow throughout the land to give water sufficient for 2.5 to 3.5 million people as they journeyed. Now think about that. God miraculously provided that water. Now, these same people, with the fresh memory of a divided Red Sea, with a fresh memory of a defeated Egyptian army, with the fresh memory of a pillar of cloud leading them by day, and a pillar of fire leading them by night. These same people, with a fresh memory of Moses taking his rod and smiting a rock, and from that rock gushes out enough water for probably 3.5 million people. These same people living in the memory of this amazing miracle said, can God feed us? Can God give us food to eat? Can God give us flesh to eat? How could anybody who saw the Red Sea parted doubt the fact that God could lead them home? How can anybody who saw the water gushing from that rock in a miraculous way doubt the fact that God could lead them home? But they did. You see, they took this miracle of the gushing of the water from the rock in Horeb, and they let that miracle stand alone. That miracle offered them no encouragement for the future. It affected not one whit their faith in God to care for them for the future. That's amazing. It looks like to me, if I could get water from a smitten rock, that would say, hey, if God can do that, I bet you God can feed me too. But this miracle to them was isolated. And they looked at it and said, wonderful, God gave us water. Now, what are we going to do for something to eat? God can't do that too, can he? Here are two people. They get the same blessing. One person rejoices about it and says, thank God for that blessing that God just gave me. And in turn, frets about tomorrow. Here's another person, gets the same blessing, enjoys the same blessing that the first person enjoyed. And he says, God did it yesterday, and that means God will do it again tomorrow. Here are two people. One says, he did it once, and I'm glad he did. And the other says, he did it once, and that teaches me what God is like. That teaches me the great principle of God's character. And because of that, I'm sure that God will do it and care for me tomorrow. Here are two people. One gets a blessing, and the other learns a principle. Here are two people. One receives the blessing, and the other receives the principle of God's nature. Now, this is the most important statement I'm going to make. Hear me. Everybody, hear me. This statement. God does not change. He always responds the same way to the same stimulus. Hear me again. God does not change. He always responds the same way under the same conditions and to the same stimulus. Now, we don't do that. Especially the female gender of us. We don't always respond the same way. I can walk up to Doc Devin some morning and say, good morning, Doc. And he may say, hey, preacher, let me tell you a funny story. Or he may say, hi, preacher, how are you? Or he may say, good morning, preacher, how are you? And I may say, on top side. Or I may say, okay, which being interpreted, lousy. But we don't respond the same way. Have you ever noticed your teenager does not ever respond the same way? And your teenager's mom and dad never respond the same way either. But I want to say it again. Hear me carefully. God does not change. He always responds the same way to the same under the same conditions and the same stimulus. That means if God saw his people thirsty in the wilderness and God gave them water in a miraculous way from the rock in Horeb, shall not he who wants to quench their thirst also want to satisfy their hunger? And yet they said, he gave us water gushing from the rock. And they said, shall he give us? They complained against God and doubted God, and they said, shall he give us bread? Shall he give us food? Ladies and gentlemen, don't you think the same God that has fed you all these years will feed you the rest of the way? Don't you think the same God who has sustained you and blessed you and cared for you and grace, his grace, hath led us safe thus far? And hallelujah, grace will lead me home. One says, but his grace hath led me safe thus far, and I wonder what's going to happen from here home. The other says, his grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. One person graduates from high school. And that high school graduate says in June of 1982, God has been good to me. God has paid my way through a Christian school. And God has given me strength to graduate from high school. And then he begins to fret and worry about college. The other person says, God has been good to me. God has seen me through high school. And by cracky, God will lead me through college too. Don't you think that same God that took care of you for 4 years in high school is able to care for you for 4 years in college? Shall you be like the Israelites of old who said, we crossed the Red Sea, we had the water from the rock in Horeb, We had the pillar of cloud by day. We had the pillar of fire by night. And yet we wonder, is God going to feed us? Can God feed us? Not only can God feed us, but God will feed us. Here's one. One person graduates from college. In June of 1962, that person looks back over 4 years of college, in the case of some of you, 6 and 7 and 8. 9 years of college, and some of you with 9 behind you, and 6 more ahead of you. I've seen the grades you haven't seen yet. And I'm saying, 4 years of college. I mean, came here, many of you, on a spare tire, on a rim maybe, with an old beat-up car, 1913 Essex, or Fraser, what's the other kind? Ford, yeah, I didn't want to get that bad, but I am. But you came here in an old beat-up car, no place to stay, not enough money to pay a month's rent. And now for 4 years, God has provided. And now one person finishes college and says, how good God's been. Praise the Lord, how good He's been. Now, I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about my future ministry. I'm worried about what God's going to do in the future. You don't have to worry about what God's going to do in the future. Now, if the other person says, praise God, He's led me 4 years through college, and that teaches me what God is like. God is a provider. God is a carer. God is a lover. God is generous. And the same God that led me through 4 years of college will lead me in my life's work for Himself. Here are two people. One person who comes to middle years. If I ever get to middle age, I think I'll understand how some of you feel. But here are two people come to middle years. And one says, God has been good to me in my youth. How good God has been. And I'm worried about the middle years. I'm losing my figure. In my case, I got more of it. I didn't lose mine. I got more of it. I'm losing my hair. In my case, I didn't get more of it. But I wonder. God has been good. He's led me for these years. Now I wonder what's going to happen in my middle years. The other says, the God that helped me rear a family, and the God that put food on my table while my children were growing up, and the God that led me to clothe my family and educate my family, that God is the same God who will be alive in my middle years. Now, two people. One, like the Jews of old, we saw the parting of the waters. We saw the manna, the water from the rock in Horeb. We saw that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Use the goodness and the blessing and the provision of God in the past to build your faith that God will take care of the future. If God hath led you safe thus far, God will lead you home. Here are two people. One has says, God's been good to me in middle life. Now my family's grown. What am I going to do? Understand that the Social Security is running out. It never ran in very good, but it's running out. Now I want to tell you something. You put your trust in the United States government, you're going to be disappointed. I mean, a bank will say, savings insured up to $100,000 by the United States government. I'd just soon be insured with the Mickey Mouse Club. Let me tell you something. Not 'tis Uncle Sam hath led me safe thus far. Uncle Sam, believe me. No, sir. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home, the writer said. You people facing the sunset. We people. No, let's go back to the first point. You people. Facing the sunset years of life. You say, I am. God has cared for me thus far. One person says, but I'm worried about old age. But the other one says, God has cared for me so long, I've learned what God is like. And I know the great principle that God cares for His own. And the Bible, when it says, It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The Bible, when it says, my God shall supply all your needs, He's not saying, my God shall supply all your teenage needs. He's not saying, my God shall supply all your growing up needs, all your middle-aged needs. God is saying, all your needs. Here's another person that says, I'm older now. I'm facing the sunset years. But you know what? The God that's made it so good thus far, He's got something better for me. Listen, His mighty arms can hold the infant like a mother. His mighty arms can build a wall around the one in life's noonday. His mighty arms can lay a bridge of sunset over which the old man's feet may walk serenely into eternal day. An older person the other day said to me, Brother Hyle, I'm worried about death. Now, I want to say this. Nobody needs to worry about death. Now, I don't want to die. If I do, I want to just go on. I want to just stop breathing. I don't want to struggle in pain. Nobody does that. And I dread the act of death, but bless your heart, there is not one fear in my soul about the consequences of death. Not one. Let me illustrate. I told this old saint that when I was a boy, Brother Keith, when I was a little boy, my daddy was a carpenter. When he could find work, which is 2 days a year. And my dad, big old giant of a fellow, weighed 235 pounds, strong as an ox. I mean, I took after him a great deal. I'm just a spitting image of him. And so, my dad was a big, strong, big giant of a fellow. And strongest man I ever knew. And so, he'd go off to work, he'd have a saw in his hand and a level and a hammer, axe, and I used to dream. I'd love to go see Daddy when he works. I'd love to go see him at his workshop. And one day my daddy said, son, want to go to work with me? He put me in the back end of old Model A Ford. We took off to work. And I saw my daddy build houses. Man, I tell you, I was proud. My dad, listen, what boy whose daddy is a sailor? God pity a poor boy got to grow up under such circumstances. But what boy whose dad is a sailor wouldn't love to go to sea with his dad and watch his dad at his dad's workshop fight the midnight waves that give cause the turmoil? What boy wouldn't love to see his dad steer that boat through the waves at midnight? What boy whose dad is a statesman wouldn't love to go to the Senate chamber and see his dad perform at his workshop in the Senate? What boy whose dad is a judge wouldn't want to go see his dad as he on the bench does his work? What boy wouldn't want to go see his doctor dad's office and see him have his stethoscope around his neck? What boy wouldn't like that? I told this the senior citizen. What boy whose dad's an athlete wouldn't like to go see him play ball and hit a home run with the bases loaded or make a touchdown or kick a field goal? Or what boy whose dad is a lawyer wouldn't like to go to work with his dad and see his dad in a courtroom as he pleads the case masterfully? Well, what child whose dad is the Heavenly Father wouldn't love to go to his workshop where he lives and see him as he causes the whole world to operate just on time? You have nothing to fear, dear aged saint. You have nothing to fear. Someday God's going to say, come on, I want to show you my workshop. I'm looking forward to seeing the levers he pulls to make the sun come up in the morning. I'm looking forward to see him set the thermostat, how hot it's going to be. I'm looking forward to see him cause it rain. He goes, I think I'll rain over here on Hammond today. And he pushes the button, says Hammond, and down it comes. I mean, look, don't you think that if God can save your soul and give you such a life as the Christian life, don't you think you've got something to look forward to when you get to go to his workshop and see him perform in his magnificence and in his glory? 'Tis grace hath led us through high school. 'Tis grace will lead us through college. 'Tis grace hath led us through college. 'Tis grace that'll lead us in our life's work. 'Tis grace that led us in the rearing of our children. 'Tis grace who will lead us in our older years. 'Tis grace who's led us in our years of elderly life, and 'tis grace will lead us for eternity. Oh, if I could just tell you this morning that these things that have happened to you have happened to you to show you the personality and the principles of God, to teach you that He who hath caused the water to gush forth for life from the rock in Horeb, that same God can build, if He wants to, a dining room in the wilderness and feed you and care for you with life's needs. Oh, yes. I sometimes wander into worry. I sometimes wander into fretting. I sometimes, in times of weakness, say, how will I live when I get older? I sometimes, as you other middle-aged people do, wonder, how will I live when I get older? And then all of a sudden I say, shall not He who sent angels to our little shack in Texas to feed us, shall not He who kept the crews from going dry and empty, shall not He who dropped manna from the sky to us when I was a child, shall not He who fed Mama and me in the ghetto of Lisbon in Dallas, Texas, shall not He who sent me a graduation suit 6 hours before graduation time so I could graduate from my own high school, shall not He who sent me through college when I arrived on the campus with $40 in my pocket and not a job and not a place to live, shall not He who gave me a job at JCPenney Company when others at school could not find work, shall not He who gave me gasoline when I ran out of gas one day on the way to church. I ran out of gas right in front of a service station, had no money, and the next car stopped and said, here's $5 God told me to bring to you tonight over to your house. Shall not He who fed us on $7.50 a week, shall not He who's provided for all these years, shall He not provide for me in my senior years? His grace hath led us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. I sometimes wander into worry. I wonder how this church will keep going. No church has ever trod the paths that we're treading now. There's nobody else that I can call and say what I do next. There's no place. This church, a pioneering church, church of expedition. We're not following anymore anybody's path. There's no example to follow. Why? Because there's not a church in the history of this nation ever gotten where we've gotten now. And I sometimes wonder, how will we make it? Then I stop to think, shall not He who's placed these mighty buildings on this corner, shall not He who's given us much of the downtown area of Hammond, shall not He who's taken us from 700 people to last spring almost 25,000 a Sunday, shall not He that gave us that barren piece of wilderness out in Shearville and gave us the wherewithal to build Baptist City, shall not He that gave us one of the loveliest college campuses in America, shall not He who cared for us 21 years ago, everybody in town said they'll have to go broke, they'll sell their buildings, shall not He who for 23 marvelous, wonderful, blessed, hallelujah years, shall not He care for us in the future? I sometimes fret about the load decisions I have to make. I mean, you don't could not know the decisions I make in a week's time. Doc, you know the decisions I have to make with you. Multiply that times 40 ministries here in this church. Decisions. And I sometimes wonder, will I be able to have mental strength and wisdom? And then I stop and say, shall not He who's given to a little Texas introvert wisdom to lead this mighty church? Shall not He who took care of us when our buildings were destroyed by fire? Shall not He who cared for us when we were concerned about the future? Shall not He who has begun a good work finish that good work? I always come back to this. I believe that God will on the basis of that God has. Now the sad thing is that there are hundreds of people in this room this morning who believe that God has. And you believe His grace hath led you safe thus far, and you could stand this morning and testify what God has done. I'd like to stand this morning and testify what God is going to do. You say, how do you know? Because I learned how he acts. You know what you can do? If somebody right now got up and walked out, and then they walked back in, then they walked out, do you wonder what I'd do? Is anybody here wonders what I'd do? You know why? 23 years, you've learned what I respond to. If somebody jumped up right now and said, I don't like what you're saying, do you wonder what I'd do? Do you wonder? Huh? Do you wonder? You know what I'd do. Why? Because I've been your pastor 23 years, and you've seen a pattern in my behavior. I've been God's child for 44 years, and I've seen a pattern in His behavior. And this is the pattern. 'Tis grace! 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Father, bless the message.